Setting the clock. The clock can be set by a blind person if you know what time it's already set at. To the left of the two up and down scan buttons on the front surface is a square with four buttons. Those of you who read Braille could easily see that this square is like a Braille letter G. The upper left-hand button is clock set. Below that is alarm set. The upper right-hand button is display, and below that is timer set. To set the clock, the manual says press the button. However, you must, in fact, hold it for about 1 second. When you do this, the hours will start flashing. Use the up and down scan buttons right above the tone controls to select the proper hour. So if it's 9 o'clock, if your clock says 9 o'clock and it's really 1 o'clock, you're going to have to press it, the hour button, 4 times. Press the time set button again. Now the minutes will flash. Press the up or down scan as many times as you need to get the correct minutes. Press the time set button a third time. If you do not press the time set button for a third time, the time will not take effect. Think of this as being like enter on a computer. Setting the alarm is very similar to setting the time rather. Hold in the alarm for a couple of seconds. The hours will start flashing. Also, an icon on the screen will flash, which asks you if you want the alarm to come on playing a radio station or with a beep. If the beep icon is flashing, press the time set button once and the radio icon will appear. If the radio icon is flashing, press the time set button once and the beep icon will appear. If you're satisfied with what the alarm does, leave it alone. Back to the idea that you pressed and held the alarm button. Now your up and down scan buttons will set the hour. After you've set the hours, press the alarm button, and your up and down scan buttons set the minutes. After you've set the minutes, press the alarm button again. This concludes the process. Again, if you don't do this last press, your time won't take effect. Without changing the time, you can press and hold the alarm button for a beep. If the alarm is on, press it again and hold it for a beep, and the alarm is off. If the alarm comes on and you want to turn it off, but you don't want to disable it, you want it to come on at the same time tomorrow morning, just press the power button and it'll go off. Press any other button and it'll go into a snooze mode and beep again or radio again after 5 minutes. The timer set is very similar to the alarm setting. Press and hold the timer button for a couple of seconds. The radio will request for you to set the turn on hour. Set the hour with the scanner buttons. Press the timer button again briefly and set the turn on minute. Press the timer button again and set the turn off hour. Press the timer button again and set the turn off minute. Press the timer button again and press the memory button of the station you want the radio to come on and play. Press the timer button one last time and this enters the process. The NOAA weather radio has various settings and alarms. Most NOAA weather radio stations nowadays send out an alarm if there's a storm warning or something of that nature. In order for this to work, you must have your local NOAA weather radio programmed into one of the memories. Now, the button that is on the right-hand half of the triangle that's on the left-hand side of the radio has 4 settings. The first is off. You won't get any kind of weather alert. The next setting, the little light will flash. The next setting, the radio will come on. The NOAA weather radio will come on. And the next setting, a siren will go off. and then you're back to the weather alert off. It should be noted that having the weather alert on uses a small amount of battery power. So if you don't think you want this feature, keep it turned off. There are beeps that signify each function. These beeps are not very loud, but we're going to turn the volume of the tape recorder all the way up and let you hear them. I am starting with my NOAA weather alert turned off. I will hold down the alert button, which is the right-hand half of the triangle on the left. I'll hold it down for a second, and you'll get each kind of beep. The first beep you will hear is the light will come on. The second beep you will hear is the NOAA weather radio itself will come on. The third one is the siren, and the fourth one, the alert is back off. Listen carefully as I turn the volume way up loud on the tape recorder and record this for you. Beep number one. Beep number two. Beep number three. Beep number four. That clicking sound that you heard before each beep and after each beep was the sound of me pressing down and holding the button. Because I had the volume of the microphone turned up so loud, the clicking sound may have sounded louder than the beeps. The 2-meter hamband. This is the section of this tutorial for those who have no experience with the 2-meter hamband. If you have used that band, you probably know all of the information that I'm about to give. The difference between ham radio and regular radio listening is that hams, or amateur radio operators, transmit signals as well as receive them. You must take a test and get a license to be a ham radio operator. Morse code is no longer required for any ham license in the United States. I have a general class license, and my call is KC4BBI. Most of the radios that transmit on 2 meters are fairly low power, 5 watts, 10 watts, maybe a maximum of 50 watts. The characteristics of reception on the 2-meter ham band, the technical term for that is propagation. Propagation on the 2-meter ham band is very similar to propagation on the FM broadcast band, except that an FM transmitter may use as much as 100,000 watts, while a 2-meter walkie-talkie or handheld may use 5 watts. You can see there's a big difference. Most of the 2-meter radios wouldn't transmit very far on their own. So starting in, I believe, about the early 1970s, the ham radio community set up a series of repeaters. A repeater is a receiver and transmitter tied together, usually placed in a very high location, such as on a mountaintop or on a very tall building or on some kind of an antenna tower. Some repeater clubs rent space from television towers. The 2-meter repeater receives on one frequency, referred to as the input frequency. It transmits on another frequency, the output frequency. Our main repeater here in Huntsville, several, but the main one that people use transmits on a frequency of 146.940 megahertz. It receives, in other words, its input frequency is 146.340 megahertz. It is 600 kilohertz below the output frequency. So your little 2-meter transmitter receiver is set up just the opposite. It transmits on, let us say, 146.340 and receives on 146.940. The plan followed by most repeaters is like this. There are no repeaters, I don't think, between 144 and 145 megahertz. Between 145 and 147, or 146.995 actually, the input frequency is 600 kilohertz below the output frequency. Between 147 and 148, it's just the opposite. So we have another very active repeater on 147.240 megahertz, and it's input frequency is 147.840. I put the 146.940 repeater into a memory on my CC Radio 2. I could have done this by scanning, and if somebody was on the air, it would have eventually stopped, and I would have found that repeater and put it into memory. I did cheat a little bit. I had a sighted person help me. I put that into a memory. I also put the input frequency, 146.340, into another memory. Why did I do this? Sometimes it's fun to see if the stations that you're listening to are close enough to you that you can hear them on the input frequency. Usually you can't, but once in a while you can, and it's just fun to pop over there. Most 2-meter activities, chit-chat among friends, people talking as they go to work or come home from work or head out to a ham club meeting or something. There's a thing called auto patch, where you can make phone calls over the repeater. But it's hardly ever used anymore, since just about every single ham has a cell phone. I haven't heard an auto patch conversation in a long time. Auto patch conversations, by the way, are public. So anybody listening to the repeater can hear your conversation where you have linked the repeater up to the phone. Some repeater systems are linked together, so 3, 4, 5, or even a dozen repeaters all activate at once, and the signals are fed from one repeater to another, to another, to another, across an entire state. Our 146.940 repeater is on its own, but the 147.240 repeater links up with some other repeaters in Alabama, and I think there's some in Tennessee also, for something called Skywarn, which is a weather network. The 146940 repeater has a weather emergency network, and this is absolutely wonderful if we have weather emergencies such as tornadoes. The radio and television coverage of weather events, in my opinion, is always hyped and exaggerated. You know, they want to make it really, really dramatic. The NOAA weather radio is very good, but it's not always 100% up to date. If you have a 2-meter ham weather network in your area, as I do in mine, you may be listening to a ham as that ham is saying, I am at the corner of such and such a street and such and such a street, and there's a tree down blocking this street. There are some power lines down. I see a funnel cloud. You hear that ham as he or she is talking and observing right now. So it's very worthwhile. The ARRL, that is American Radio Relay League, sells a repeater directory where you can look up repeaters in your own area. Some electronic stores may have lists of repeaters in your area. You may be able to find a ham radio club in your area, either by looking in the phone book or going online or asking around at different electronic stores, or maybe you'll see somebody with a ham decal on their car and you approach that person. He'll be very happy to tell you about the local ham club, and you can find out what frequencies the local repeaters are on. Once again, you can find them by scanning, but you're only going to hear them when somebody is talking. So your best times to scan are drive times, going to work, coming home from work, and finding people on them. These are some of the ways that you can find out where the ham radio repeaters are in your area, and these are some of the things you can hear on 2 meters. It may motivate you to get your ham license. There's an organization in Golden Valley, Minnesota, called Handy Hams. Handy Hams has a lot of information on tape and online that will help you study to become a ham radio operator. Also, many local clubs have courses where you can study to be a ham, and you can pass your tests right at your local club. So look around in your area if, after listening on 2 meters, you would like to become a ham, and then you can get in there and talk as well as listen. Here's something extra regarding the 2-meter band on the CC Radio 2. We've already talked about how the repeaters are on when somebody's talking and then they're off. When the repeater is off, you're going to hear white noise, the hiss of the radio, and this may become annoying. There's a feature called squelch, which can turn this hiss off and still let the radio be heard when a signal is received. To activate the squelch, and this works only on 2 meters, press and hold the tuning knob for a couple of seconds. Remember, if you just tap it, you're going to go into one of the two scan modes that the radio has. Press and hold it for a couple of seconds. Now, turn the tuning knob slowly clockwise until the loud hiss goes away. Stop at that point. When a signal comes on, the radio will be heard. When the signal goes off, there'll be nothing. The more you turn the radio knob clockwise, the stronger signal will be needed to, as they say, open or break the squelch. You don't want to turn it too far, or the station you want to hear won't break the squelch. So just turn it until the noise is gone. If you want to tune around and search for weaker repeaters, do the opposite. Press and hold the knob, and then turn it until the squelch opens up. And either way, tap the knob once to get out of squelch set and go back to the knob as a tuning knob. There is an interesting accessory sold by Sea Crane. It's a 3-cable patch cord. 3 40-inch cables with a 1/8-inch stereo plug on each end are bonded together. This may be useful particularly if you're using this radio with the VersaCorder, which has a timer that can turn the radio off and on and a line in jack. You're going to use your line out jack to record. This cable is $14.95 from Sea Crane. Sea Crane actually can sell you other patch cords if you want to record from your radio or use an audio input in the radio. Just describe to Sea Crane what kind of jacks your other products have, and they'll see if they can sell you the patch cord. This is the end of this tutorial. This is Tim Hendel speaking for Sea Crane in Fortuna, California at 800-522-8863. Wishing you many years of good reception and enjoyment with your CC Radio 2, and hoping that perhaps you'll find some new things on the radio that you didn't know about before.